Love can be intoxicating, but what happens when that intoxication becomes poisonous? In Tell Me Lies, we're thrust into the dangerous dance between Lucy Albright and Stephen DeMarco, whose relationship exemplifies how attraction can morph into obsession. Their story begins at Baird College, where freshman Lucy is eager to reinvent herself, symbolically discarding her gold monogrammed earrings, a gift from her mother, as she steps into her new identity. When she meets Stephen at a house party, the chemistry is immediate and powerful. Unlike other freshman girls, Lucy captivates him with her complex beauty, long legs, graceful movements, and chestnut hair cascading down her exposed shoulder blades. Their first meaningful interaction at Lake Mead sets the tone for their relationship when Stephen calls her Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and tells her, "You look so good in that bikini, it hurts," words that sent electricity through her body. But beneath this seemingly romantic beginning lurks something more calculated. As Stephen internally notes, "I knew the moment Lucy became interested in me at Lake Mead, I could taste it in the air around her like salt." Stephen's danger lies in his methodical approach. He doesn't pursue women, he hunts them. He gathers extensive information to become their ideal partner, learning preferences and insecurities before making his move. With Lucy, he accidentally bumps into her at the library, feigns interest in fiction, which he actually finds incomprehensible, and researches Beatles songs to create a special nickname for her. Most insidiously, Stephen exploits Lucy's emotional wound about her mother. When Lucy confides about the unforgivable thing, discovering her mother's affair with a boy Lucy had feelings for, Stephen feigns empathy with fabricated stories about his own mother's mood disorder, creating a powerful bond. His manipulation follows a precise pattern: disappear for days, then reappear with passionate declarations and gifts, make her feel special by saying she's not like other girls, while simultaneously seeing multiple women. Haven't we all encountered people who know exactly which emotional buttons to push? Lucy's vulnerability to Stephen's manipulation stems from the unforgivable thing, that devastating moment when 15-year-old Lucy discovered her mother, CJ, having an affair with Gabe Peterson, a boy Lucy herself had feelings for. This betrayal transformed Mom into the distant CJ and created a wound that never healed. Lucy recalls every detail of that September day, finding her mother's car, following strange noises to her parents' bedroom, and fleeing into the rain. This trauma created perfect conditions for Stephen's manipulation. Having never addressed her mother's betrayal, Lucy developed a deep distrust of maternal figures while craving unconditional love. When Stephen showed interest in her pain, she mistook his calculated attention for genuine connection. The parallel between CJ's betrayal and Stephen's lies created a tragic pattern where Lucy chose denial over confrontation, silence over truth-seeking. Childhood wounds shaped her adult relationships, drawing her toward familiar pain rather than healing. What makes toxic relationships so difficult to escape? For Lucy and Stephen, their connection is fueled by intense physical chemistry, emotional volatility, and a power imbalance. Stephen is Lucy's first sexual partner to give her an orgasm, creating a powerful association between pleasure and his presence. After their first night together, Lucy feels exhilarated and stunned by the intensity of her feelings. Their relationship follows a classic cycle of idealization, devaluation, and discard. Stephen occasionally shows vulnerability, telling Lucy, "I think, I've always thought that I could love you," keeping her invested despite red flags. When he compares her to a BMW while calling his girlfriend merely a Honda, Lucy mistakes objectification for appreciation. The toxic dynamic manifests physically too. Lucy develops disordered eating habits, running excessively and skipping meals, appreciating the hunger pangs at night. She strives to be tiny, Stephen's compliment of choice. By summer, her BMI drops to a dangerous 18, alarming her mother. Stephen DeMarco maintains multiple relationships with disturbing precision, compartmentalizing his life completely. He pursues Lucy while dating Diana, maintains Alice while reconnecting with Lucy, and becomes engaged to Jillian while still seeing Lucy. These aren't impulsive affairs, but calculated decisions. Most chilling is Steven's complete absence of remorse. He admits, "I don't feel guilt, which works to my advantage," and believes monogamy feels unnatural while cheating stabilizes me. His internal thoughts reveal profound emotional disconnection. He wonders what it would be like to actually feel those words rather than just say them when telling Alice he loves her. Steven's darkest secret confirms his moral bankruptcy. After causing Macy Peterson's death in a drunk driving accident, he placed her body in the driver's seat and walked away as Zombie played endlessly on the radio. This horrific act, followed by his ability to continue living normally, reveals the disturbing reality beneath his carefully constructed persona. As Lucy's toxic relationship with Steven intensifies, she descends into depression, addiction, and self-destructive behaviors. Her disordered eating worsens, she loses 12 pounds, runs excessively, and begins to appreciate the hunger pangs at night. Initially hesitant about drugs, Lucy tries cocaine with Steven's encouragement, and experimentation quickly becomes habit. Her academic aspirations suffer as she declines the prestigious Writers on the Riviera program to stay with him. After their breakup, Lucy collapses with a nosebleed, physically manifesting her emotional hemorrhage. In another disturbing episode, she steals and pawns her mother's valuable jewelry, throwing the junk pieces into the East River, an act of displaced rage that leaves her empty. When she finally seeks help, Dr. Wattenberger diagnoses her with clinical depression, describing it as a chemical imbalance, like an infection in your brain. Through therapy, Lucy begins to understand both her family dynamics and Steven's manipulative behaviors. Haven't we all watched someone we care about spiral downward, seemingly powerless to stop their self-destruction? Lucy's healing begins with radical honesty after hitting rock bottom with the jewelry theft. In St. Thomas Church, something like grace moves through her while listening to Psalm 23, sparking the realization, "I need to get better and nobody will do it for me." This awakening prompts her to donate the pawned money and seek therapy with Dr. Wattenberger, where she gains insights about her depression and attraction to Steven. The deepest healing comes when Lucy confronts her mother about the unforgivable thing during their Cape Cod road trip. Lucy admits knowing about CJ's affair years ago. While CJ provides context, it lasted only a month, her father knew, and they addressed it in therapy. Lucy also confesses to selling the jewelry, creating space for mutual forgiveness. At Breeze's wedding, Lucy feels strangely calm, seeing Steven with his fiancé, recognizing she's finally over him. This emotional freedom reconnects her with writing aspirations. When Lucy tells CJ she wants to leave New York to pursue journalism, CJ responds, "It's never too late to make a change." The novel ends with Lucy returning to the reception, the pearl-colored tent glowing in the dusk, alive with dancing and music, suggesting a liberated future.